So welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. As you can see, the liturgical ninjas have been doing their thing, and all of the hangings today are blue. Thank you, Cindy Jarvis and your team. Purple is the traditional color for the season of Advent because it was the most costly dye in ancient times. It was made from sea urchins. Ugh. But it was also a color that represented royalty and royal status. It's also the color, purple is the color that we associate with Lent because it's penitential. And although technically Advent is kind of penitential light, those desiring a break with the Roman Catholic and in some cases the Anglican traditions in more recent times have adopted the color of blue for Advent. When we switched to the color of blue in Advent in the cathedral that I came from, you would have thought that I had started World War III. One distinguished older lady said that Christmas couldn't come that year if Advent wasn't purple. And if there was anyone on the face of the planet that could stop the good Lord from coming back, it was her. Change is hard sometimes. Don't sit in our pews, don't mess with our traditions, right? But blue is lovely, and it represents hope and expectation. It's the color of the clear pre-dawn sky, the color that covers the earth in the hours before the sun rises in the east. The deep blue of Advent is meant to inspire us in hope and faith and to encourage us to keep watch for the promise light of Christ to break over the horizon, changing night into day, darkness into light, and filling our lives and our world with the warmth of light. Today, on this first day of the liturgical year, we begin a journey towards the manger in anticipation of the birth of our Lord. Yet our lectionary throws us the curveball of Mark 13, 24 through 37, in which we start with the last things first. Here Jesus offers a little apocalypse with prophecy and some comfort. It seems out of sequence, though, however. Just when we want tales of the Holy Family making their way to a warmly lit barn in Bethlehem, we get a tale of travel, all right, but through the cosmos and the darkness of space. And didn't we just hear a parable about the bridesmaids a few weeks ago, about staying awake? Here on the threshold of Advent, again, we get the stay awake message. And I don't know about you, but I'm awake. I've had 3 cups of coffee this morning. The season is the season of overstimulation. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, Woohoo Wednesday. I just made that one up. 24 hours news cycle, nuclear threats, racial slurs, workplace harassment, poverty, celebrity, DIY shows, Christmas lights, trees, decorations, music, movies, cookies, presents, guests, turkeys, pageants, parties. We are all too busy to sleep. So why in the world are we talking about shaking heavens and propping our eyes open to stay awake so that we don't miss the return of Christ when he hasn't even been born yet? But he has been born, and we all know it, right? We've heard the story before, year after year. We see it on cards and banners and pageants. We know how the Christmas story goes. So maybe at some point, we just start to recite the story by heart. And maybe in the midst of our busy lives, we just start going through the motions. The stage prop barn that we built for the pageants at the church that I used to work for was tucked beautifully. It tucked beautifully in the elevator that we used to take it from the nave down to the undercroft, as we called it. And for 364 days of the year, it stayed downstairs. And one year, when it was time to start planning for the Christmas pageant, for a moment, several of us on the staff forgot where the barn was. We forgot where it was. We had no idea. We saw it all the time, and yet we didn't even see it. It had become a playhouse for camp, a reading nook for children's chapel, a forgotten relic on our campus. This 6-foot-tall barn that would in a few weeks house our youth dressed as the Holy Family, donkeys, sheep, shepherds, and angels, was invisible to us because we were looking for a prop and not for what it meant to our spiritual selves. This time of year, we are surrounded with, bombarded with, and covered up in props. Props show up in Walgreens the minute after Halloween is over. The season is so much longer and bigger each year that our overstimulated senses start to just shut down. And as over-caffeinated as we are, we're still sleepwalking through the short weeks until Santa leaves packages under our tree. That is why we need the no-nonsense gospel of Mark today more than ever. We need to wake up to what is really important, the coming of Christ, our Emmanuel, the incarnation, God with us. Advent is a time to look inwardly a bit to how we are prepared to receive the Emmanuel. Are our hearts ready to hold him? Are our souls ready for the overpouring of joy? Are we awake enough to see with clear eyes the tiny pinpoint of light that grows brighter on our path towards the Nativity? Amidst the holiday fervor, the quake of retail madness, the demand for our attention and flashing lights and traffic jams, sales and parties, we are reminded to slow our roll, to breathe deeper, to look heavenward with clear-eyed mindfulness. And as we wait and hope and breathe and hope and breathe and hope.